Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning. It is Thursday, March 11th. You're listening to the College Football Daily. My name is Trey Scott. Today's episode, another recruiting Thursday. I'm really excited for this one as Blair Angulo and our friends at the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast bring you all the big picture storylines, all the small picture storylines you need to know, everything about the class of 2022, the class of 2023, and beyond. They do a great job. You should be subscribing to them regardless of your team interest, where you live, whatever, because you, if you're a true college football fan, you need to be in the know for recruiting. So this is today's episode of the Football Recruiting Podcast, delivered right here on the College Football Daily feed.
Hey, what's good? Welcome back to another edition of the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast. My name is Blair Angulo. Thank you so much for joining us. We are deep into camp season, so we've got Andrew Ivins on the show this week to break down the latest stop that he made on the circuit. He was at the Under Armour All-America Camp in Miami, Florida. Before we get to that, though, wanted to discuss the fact that a five-star running back is coming off the board this coming weekend. Emmanuel Henderson, he's the number two rated running back in the country, according to the composite at 24/7 Sports, out of the state of Alabama. The crystal ball right now is trending towards Alabama. So he's announcing Saturday, March 13th at 1 o'clock Central. So make sure you stay locked in to the website to check all the latest on Emmanuel Henderson and his decision. Now over to Andrew Ivins. Andrew, how are we doing?
I'm doing good, man. Sounds like Alabama's about to get this thing cranking, right?
Was it ever a doubt, right, that they'd start get it cranking? I mean, the thing with Alabama right now is that it doesn't matter what time of the year it is, right? Like, there are some programs that turn it up a notch closer to the early signing period. There are some programs that get off to a really fast start or out the gate. They start rolling on all cylinders. You know, look at Ohio State or look at a USC, for instance. Those two programs leading the charge in their respective conferences early on in the 2022 cycle. But that's because a lot of the recruits try to snatch up a spot or try to lock in their position in a recruiting class. They don't want that offer to come off the table. With Alabama, it just seems like it's just a consistent flood, and it's just wave after wave after wave of them just taking the best available prospect at every position.
Yeah, man. I think our colleague Brandon Huffman said it best, and I he might have even been on the Dan Patrick show, and he's like, Alabama doesn't recruit. They just kind of evaluate at this point. They choose who they want, and it's really when they want, you know, they get the pick of the litter. And so we'll see what happens, but it's interesting that I think, you know, they're starting to make this turn now after they got Ty Simpson. You know, where do they go next will be interesting.
I don't know if I brought this point up to you when you were on the podcast earlier this year, but I was trying to explain it to my wife, and because she was asking me, she has a coworker, I guess, who's named after Bear Bryant. His first name's Bryant. So she's trying to figure out why Alabama does so well in recruiting and why they keep appearing in the college football playoffs and how they win national championship after national championship and all that. And I basically explained to her this way. Look at all the five-star prospects and look at all the top tier prospects that they get. Now translate that over to the NFL draft, and you know, the best team or the team that wins the Super Bowl based on the win loss and it's best based on on-field success. So if they were basing it off of the NFL model, Alabama would have the 32nd pick, right, in the NFL draft. Well, they just load up and they take multiple first round draft picks, and that's how they keep stockpiling the talent. So it's just remarkable. So we'll see if Emmanuel Henderson becomes that latest piece. Auburn, a few other schools in there for Emmanuel Henderson. You were in Miami, your backyard, for the Under Armour All-America Camp Series stop. a kind of a return to normalcy for us and the recruiting world and kind of the trail and the off-season circuit. Let me get your thoughts first on that, because it's been about a year since every weekend we would have a really remarkable event. And it seems like we're now trending towards having a consistent schedule.
Yeah, it's crazy. I didn't even think about this till you brought it up. I mean, that was the last camp I covered last year before the shutdown and you know, everything ceased. I remember last year, not joking, but I said in, I think it was one of our group chats, I was like, yeah, I'll cover the camp, but like, I'm going to wear a mask. And at the time that was like insane to think about. And now it's like, well, yeah, you had to attend this camp and wear a mask, but no, it was different. Look, man, the Under Armour camps are awesome. It's an invite only thing. They're trying to get the best of the best of wherever they are in the country out to them. And it gives you an opportunity to size up some of these kids, watch them compete, go through drills. And yes, it's not padded. They're in shirts and shorts, but you can see guys move alongside each other and kind of figure out who's who, I guess. You know, people can get exposed really fast. And the Miami one's always loaded. This year, it was a little short on numbers. I think they normally have like 200 kids. They kind of trimmed it down to 100. So it wasn't as many, but good event. Featured two of the top ranked recruits in the Sunshine State for the 2022 cycle. So it was exciting to see them. And then, you know, there's always some guys who turn heads and you're kind of searching through your roster, like who's that. So good event. And, you know, it's back, man. We did 7-on-7s. Those have been going. Now we're getting these elite camps, and it feels like we're going to have the Elite 11 this summer, which will be awesome. And then hopefully the opening finals as well.
Yeah, the very good events. You mentioned it. It's elite versus elite. It's invite only, specifically in this environment. And it really allows for us to be able to evaluate these prospects better. But also, you get a lot of recruiting scoop, because these are the best players in the country that are getting the offers, that are getting a lot of the phone calls and the virtual meetings and doing the Zoom stuff right now and potentially getting on the road soon. There were two guys, the top two recruits in the state of Florida that we wanted to discuss, and that would be Gabriel Brown Dindy, as well as Shamar Stewart. What's the latest on the top two prospects in the Sunshine State?
Well, let's just start with Gabe Dindy. And before we even get into his recruiting, let's just talk about him as a prospect, because he's like a trend up guy for me. And that's kind of insane, because he's currently ranked by 24/7 Sports as the number 5 player in the country in the class of 2022. I mean, he was super impressive. He wasn't the alpha dog of the camp, and that's probably more so it has to do with the lack of one-on-one reps he got. I mean, there wasn't a ton of time spent in that segment of the camp, but man, he came in just over 6'2", just under 280 pounds, goes 4.8 in the 40-yard dash at that weight, and then had the highest vertical jump out of anyone there, 33 inches. So that's higher than any DB, any wide receiver. You know, the guys that weigh 150 pounds, Gabe Dindy was jumping higher than him, and he's just an awesome story. I mean, when we first uncovered him back in June, we had no idea who he really was, and we kind of rolled the dice and moved him up really high in the rankings, because at the time he had some good testing numbers. But man, he looks like he's the real deal in the class of 2022. Probably made his case to be the number one recruit from the state of Florida moving forward. I mean, you're talking about a guy who he's also getting it done in pads. He had 29 tackles for loss as a sophomore. I think that number was around 18 as a junior, but he's super exciting. A guy that I just really like. I think I wrote he's built like a Mack truck. Just he's so solid and so powerful. But on the recruiting front, seems like Clemson's in there, Ohio State, and then many people think, you know, Oklahoma is going to be the team to beat because that's where mom and dad went. But I kind of wrote this in my notebook once I got home on Sunday. I would keep an eye on Clemson. You know, I think he's really kind of drawn to Dabo Sweeney and that faith-based culture that has been created at Clemson. I mean, think about it like this. You know, when Gabe showed up to check in, this camp was on a Sunday. I was like, hey, you know, where's your dad, man? He's like, oh, my dad's at church right now. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, you know, I knew they were, you know, Christians and all that. I just didn't realize, you know, he wasn't going to go watch his son or anything. So I think Clemson's the team to watch there, but man, he's the real deal. And I think he is going to be a big get for anyone that's able to eventually pick up that signature.
Yeah. Oklahoma right now holds the lead for Gabe Dindy in the crystal ball. They've got all three votes, and the confidence level right now is at a 7. And, you know, we had Steve Wilfong talking about some of the Big 12 recruiting storylines earlier this week, and he mentioned Oklahoma's push for players like Dindy, especially on the defensive side of the ball, and how they need playmakers, they need difference makers on that side of the ball to take that next step and take that program to the next level. So it's going to be interesting to see whether Oklahoma is able to hold on to some of that lead, or if it's perceived that maybe, like you said, Clemson could be pushing there and making a strong impression. Shamar Stewart is another prospect, and obviously one that has a lot of notoriety right now in his recruitment. And you wrote that Texas A&M is making a strong push.
Yeah, so Shamar Stewart is the number one ranked player in the Sunshine State right now. Excuse me. He's at Monsignor Pace, which is in Opa-locka, kind of a suburb of Miami. He initially was our number one ranked player at one point nationally. So, you know, his recruitment, LSU has long been the crystal ball leader. That's where my pick's been. I think it's been over like 12 months. I still like the Tigers and Ed Orgeron. I think they've done a really good job. And you got to remember, when they first went after Shamar, it was right after that magical season with Joe Burrow. And yeah, things didn't go as planned in 2020, but I don't think the shine has wore off just yet. You mentioned Texas A&M, and I pointed straight up, asked Shamar, I'm like, hey man, like, is there anyone that you feel like has made a move in your recruitment? He's like, yeah, Texas A&M. He's like, I just did a virtual visit there. I like what Jimbo Fisher is doing and how they talked to me about how they were going to use me and all this. So I think Texas A&M's a team trending up. I don't know if I'd put them in the lead pack. I think that's LSU and Georgia, but certainly someone to watch out for. And you got to remember, Texas A&M, they played in the Orange Bowl recently. You know, that's where they ended the season. And that's like at Hard Rock Stadium, which I think is, you know, a 10-minute drive from where Shamar Stewart goes to school. So you talk about bowl games. Hey, do bowl games matter and location? I mean, probably not in the big picture of things, but I do think Texas A&M, ever since Jimbo's been there, has gotten more and more involved in the Sunshine State. I really think that Orange Bowl made a difference. Not that big of a difference, but it's kind of like helped them grow the brand a little bit more in the Miami-Dade, Broward County area. So I think that's something interesting. I mean, I was wondering, you know, would they make a swing at one of these big guys? And it seems like Shamar Stewart is the guy that they have circled in that 2022 cycle.
Yeah. So Gabe Dindy and Shamar Stewart, the top two recruits in the state of Florida, and a lot of news coming out of the Under Armour All-America event in Miami. Neither of them were the alpha dog from the event. We're going to get into that right after the break. Here, you're listening to the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast. We'll be right back with more from Andrew Ivins. But before that, wanted to remind you to please leave a 5-star review with a recruiting question on Apple Podcasts. If you do so, you've got a chance to have that recruiting question answered on an upcoming mailbag episode. We've been building that mailbag episode. We want to make it a mega edition. So if you could, please give us a rating, give us those 5 stars, and it'll really help us out wherever you find your podcast. Now, Andrew, we talked about Shamar Stewart. We talked about Gabe Dindy, but there was another prospect that was named the alpha dog, according to 24/7 Sports, from the Under Armour All-America Camp Series stop in Miami.
Yeah, that was Nigelie Kelly. I think I've talked about him on like every national hit I've done in the past like 2 months. This is a guy that was, you know, a mid 3-star recruit. I saw him play in pads in October, said stock up, moved him to a high 3-star. Then we debuted him in the top 247 rankings a few weeks ago. And I think he's going to go even higher. He was the alpha dog, took a ton of reps during one-on-ones, but he just, alongside some of the other defensive linemen there, and I've written about this, it's a very deep year in the state of Florida for defensive linemen. Like, he moved unlike some of these other guys. Now, he's 6'4", 240 pounds, had a monster junior season, a bunch of sacks, 13 sacks, 20 tackles for loss, but he was awesome on the edge, kind of bending and dipping around. And, you know, just comparing him to some of his peers, he was the best that day. And I think he's definitely a stock up guy, committed to Florida State. We'll see if they can hold on to him. But yes, got that All-American Bowl invite recently. So he continues to impress and is looking like one of the best prospects, not only in South Florida, but in the state.
Now, that's going to be an interesting battle. Miami, Florida, both of those schools involved and trying to flip him.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if, Alabama or Clemson comes calling at some point. But I, these camps are great because you get those face-to-face interactions. Some of it's on record, some of it's off record. I mean, this was on record. I asked Nigel Leak, hey, man, like, who has the best chance at flipping you? And he was kind of taken back by the question because I think I was a little, forward with it. And then he's like, probably Miami and the University of Florida. And Manny Diaz and the Miami Hurricanes are probably going to have three defensive linemen drafted in the day one or day two in the upcoming NFL draft. And I think they're really trying to sell Nigel Leak Kelly on that. They got a new defensive line coach, Jess Simpson, who came from the Atlanta Falcons. So he's been at that next level. And I think that's the package that Miami is trying to work with Nigel Leak. Florida, on the other hand, that's kind of been the most consistent of the big three in terms of winning games recently. So I think they have a fighting chance as well. I don't know, where the scheme fit would be for Nigel Leak. Again, some people think he's an edge. Some people think long-term he kicks inside. Florida's got that 3-4 front, but I think it could work out maybe where he's your big defensive end and rushes. So this will be interesting. That dead period could end in early June. Is he going to take visits? Are some other big schools going to get involved, like a Clemson or in Alabama or even like a Georgia? So we'll see, but definitely another stock up guy. Who knows, man? Maybe he'll be a 5-star by the time this cycle's over just because we love him so much.
Yeah, I can't wait to see how many national hits you do on Nigel Leak Kelly. It's very interesting. These events, these camps are really good for evaluations. They're really good, like you said, for getting recruiting information and speaking to recruits and speaking to people at the camp. You get to see a lot of players that maybe you were already familiar with and how they've changed, especially after a year off of the camp circuit and having, dealt with the pandemic restrictions and all that. But you also get a chance to see maybe some players you've never seen that you liked on film or that maybe you didn't even know existed and you wonder who's that, right? And you look at your roster and you try to double check and make sure that you have the right guy. There was two guys that you got a chance to look at for the first time in person, and that would be Azariah Thomas and DeMario Tolan.
Look, it's funny, we work at 24/7 Sports. We work with a lot of our team sites, right? So guys will message me all the time because they'll see Florida and they think like he must be familiar with this kid. But Azariah lives on the complete other side of the state of me. He's in Niceville, Florida, which is up in the panhandle. I'm down in Fort Lauderdale. So that's about like an 8-9 hour drive. So I had never seen him before. Part of that is because of the pandemic, but he's a guy on tape that I absolutely like love. He's 6'2", 180 pounds, and he tested well on Sunday at that Under Armour camp. I kind of was wondering, how fast would he be? Would he check all the boxes? And I personally think if he was like, hey, I raised his hand and was like, hey, I'm a wide receiver, like he might be the top wide receiver in the state of Florida this cycle, but he wants to play defensive back. He told me, he's like, man, there's a ton of, I think he said 6'3", like there's a ton of 6'3" receivers running around. There's not a ton of 6'3" defensive backs, but he looked the part. Clemson's in there, Florida State's in there, Alabama's in there, Florida's in there, Miami's in there. So he was an interesting one, a guy that I think, will he rise in the rankings? I don't know, but he definitely kind of passed, checked all the boxes that I had. And you like when you see a kid on tape and it all lines up and verifies like your eyes and everything. So he was certainly impressive.
It's funny you mentioned that a 6'3" defensive back. It's kind of like the basketball player, right? That is semi-irrelevant at 6'5" or 6'6". And he's kind of just slumbering around the basketball court. And you think, man, if he was a football player, then, like that would be a guy.
It is. Like, and then they flip on over and, then we're all like, who's that 6'6" guy running around? So
yeah. And so DeMario Tolan was another one that you really liked. You said Miami, Florida State is in there. Georgia is making a push as well. And a player that I think when you look at projection and when you look at evaluations, his off ball skills really stand out as well.
Yeah. So he's at a really weird school in Central Florida. I didn't even have it written it down. It's an Indian name, and I'm a Florida native, and I normally can nail like most of the cities or rivers and stuff. I can't even get this one. He just told me to call it Toho. So he's at Toho. It's a newer school in Kissimmee, which is in Osceola County. And DeMario Blair, I know, like, kind of on our rankings council, you are like in charge of linebackers or not. That's what you normally end up watching. And I think when me, you, and Gabe Brooks, our colleague, watch him, we're like, this guy's tape is awesome. We just want to know how big is he, because he's flying around hitting people. And I measured him myself at 6'2" and a half, 200 pounds, and thought he looked the part. A guy that's a 3-star now for us could potentially be a 4-star. And he runs track. I think it's 110 meter hurdles. He also plays basketball, part of the National Honor Society. So he's awesome. Recruitment seems to be pretty open, but Miami might have a leg up on everyone else, because while we're in this NCAA dead period, meaning, you know, he can't go to Coral Gables and tour the IPF and sit down in Manny Diaz's office, he can kind of walk around on his own as long as he doesn't interact with anyone. And that's what he did. I heard he was eating at like the Five Guys on campus. So Miami kind of benefited from him going down to this camp. You know, it was a 3-hour drive, but they found a way to, you know, at least show off part of that campus in one way or another.
Yeah, no, and that's kind of the big thing right now is schools are trying to get creative with these self-guided visits, making sure they get itineraries over to recruits, at least until the recruiting dead period is lifted. I know a lot of prospects are trying to figure out how they're going to get on campus, how they're going to see things, what's going to be accessible once they get there. So, you know, it does sound like the schools are prioritizing him. Andrew, before we let you go, one last topic to touch on with the Under Armour Camp Series stop in Miami, and that was the lack of skill position players. Is this a down year in the state of Florida?
Yeah, man. When I was filling in for you on the podcast, I think I
felt like I was going to get Wally pipped.
No. I'm not that good. I mean, you drive the show. But, you know, I brought Bud on and we were talking about some strengths and weaknesses in the Sunshine State. You know, normally there's 250 kids that go FBS or something like that every year. And I just kind of shot that number out there. I don't know. I know I ranked like 300 kids last year, so there's a lot. But this year, compared to the past 2, 3, 4, 5 years, it just seems like the offensive skill talent isn't what it was in previous years. And I found myself at the camp, like watching wide receiver DB one-on-ones. And I'm like, man, I really just don't love any of these wide receivers. And maybe some guys will emerge. I mean, there's some I like, but man, it's just not what it has been in years past. And you got to remember, this is a state that, you know, has churned out some NFL guys, more specifically so in South Florida. But I do think that is absolutely kind of a storyline when we're just talking big picture in the class of 2022 nationally, because, you know, not only do Miami and Florida State all kind of tap into that region. But look, man, West Virginia, you know, your Indianas, your Syracuses, like all those guys come and get skilled players from down here too. So it's certainly interesting that it's a little dry.
The downtime, I feel like, might also be affecting, right? Like we might be seeing a lot of rusty players that haven't been able to do as much as they would have in a typical recruiting cycle. And I'm really interested to see how this 2022 class bounces back from not being able to go out to camps and not being able to do some of the stuff that they typically do during the summer months or in the spring heading into the summer. You know, maybe that could be, I'm not throwing out excuses for some of these players, but maybe that could be a thing too, right? Where maybe some of these players just haven't caught their momentum.
It's a good theory for sure. I mean, you got to remember these guys for at some length, you know, weren't lifting like they normally would with their high school teams and all that. I mean, that's something I had not really thought about, to be honest with you.
That's what I'm here for, Andrew. I'm trying to expand your mind, giving you a little bit more train of thought for that brain. And you've got a lot on your plate, man. You're a podcaster. You're a photographer. You're an analyst for 24/7 Sports. You can follow Andrew at Andrew_Ivins. It's been a pleasure as always, Andrew. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, man.
All right, that is Andrew Ivins. A reminder, there's a lot going on at 24/7 Sports, especially this weekend. Andrew's going to be in Atlanta for a 7-on-7 tournament. Bud Elliott, another national analyst, will be in Orlando for the Elite 11. And I will be in Dallas along with the director of recruiting for 24/7 Sports, Steve Wiltfong, covering the Under Armour Camp Series stop in Texas. So make sure you check the website for all the latest news, all the latest recruiting buzz on your favorite teams and top recruits in the country. That'll do it for us here on this edition of the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast.
J. Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the plague.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You don't want to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount+.